Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Yes, indeed. Tony Katz today. Except today I am Derek Hunter. It's like going to a Broadway play. Ooh, Tom Hanks is going to be in this one. I'm looking forward to that. And then right before the curtain goes up, the role of Tom Hanks will be played today by the other guy, Michael Scolari from Bosom Buddies. You're like, ah, crap. What is this? But you don't worry. Tony will be back on Monday, I think. I don't think you'll be snatched away like that. I am Derek Hunter, sitting in, host of the Derek Hunter podcast, columnist, senior columnist for Town Hall, columnist for The Hill newspaper, podcaster, what have you. All that good stuff. So you just search me on Twitter, Derek, at Derek A. Hunter. Derek spelled D-E-R-E-K, the way it's supposed to be. I'm not a deep sea oil drilling device. So, and A is spelled A, not like Fonzie, and then Hunter. If you can't do that, then you're kind of on your own. I can't help you there. All right, we've got a lot of stuff. I don't want to harp on the polls. I don't want to harp on... And I just want people to be aware that this is an issue. Polling is an issue. Polling is good, but we are at the halfway point. How many teams have led the league at the All-Star break? No team has ever won the World Series at the All-Star break. But there have been a lot of teams that are doing great at the All-Star. And then you hear, well, this team went on fire. They caught on fire. They went crazy. After the All-Star break, they've had a best record, whatever, in baseball, and they end up making the playoffs. This is a marathon, not a sprint. So act accordingly. It's good to let you know where you are every once in a while. You do that quick look over the shoulder as you grab a cup of water at the checkpoint, but this is a checkpoint. And in politics, frankly, it's all checkpoints. There's no finish lines. But there are some bigger checkpoints than others. So it's worth keeping an eye on. I want to just briefly tell you. I saw this headline. I haven't read the story yet, but this might be one of my all-time favorite headlines because it illustrates how the left-wing mind works. And you say, well, this is overseas. Look, it doesn't, progressives are progressive, it doesn't matter where they're from. They're crazy no matter where they are. It's not like, well, those progressives are really, those the people dumping tomato soup on Picasso's, they're nuts. But there are people who share their vision. No, they're all nuts. Not all of them are throwing, you know, ravioli at Rodin, but they are in support of it at a minimum. So it's important to kind of keep an eye on all of them. And it's also fun to mock them because, you know, they'd say, well, this is them there. This is not here. Stupidity spreads like a cold on a plane. It is because somebody cooks up a dumb idea someplace in the world, some left-wing idea, does not mean that your left-wingers are immune. You'll laugh at it and go, can you believe they're doing this? And then year or two later, the Democrats in your area are doing that. You're like, what the hell? For example, just as a quick aside, we'll get to my favorite headline in a second. There's a guy called Scott Wiener. He is a state senator out in California. Good old Scott Wiener. And he's responsible for making sex with minor boys, not necessarily the stigmatizing crime that it was once before, has to do with age difference. I think up to 25 you can now do it because Scott Wiener didn't want people to be labeled as sex offenders for the simple crime of being a sex offender. I don't know what circles he rolls in, but I can imagine. But Scott Wiener is also responsible for, he's a nut job, a left-wing nut job. His whole life is dedicated to these sorts of things. He's out of San Francisco, so he's 10 feet tall and bulletproof as far as, like, what are you going to do? He's going to win re-election. That's it. But Scott Wiener introduced a bill out in California that became law because California is California. that took away the criminal penalties and liabilities of knowingly giving somebody HIV or AIDS. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's a rude thing to do, to say the least. But if you were infected with HIV, there was a law that said if you're going to have sex with somebody, you kind of got to let them know so they can decide for themselves if they want to risk getting HIV. Well, this was stigmatizing. This was terrible. This was mean. This was how dare you do these sorts of things now in the 2000s. So Scott Wiener introduced a bill that would remove that, make it not a crime anymore. And it passed because it's California. And you sit there and you go, well, that's the dumbest thing ever. And the argument was, because it is the dumbest thing ever, they had to make an argument. The argument was, well, AIDS is no longer a death sentence. AIDS is a manageable disease. You get HIV, you can keep it at bay, you can live a long, normal, healthy life, which they don't really know yet. We do have treatments, good for that, that make it manageable, at least for long periods of time, where people who are HIV positive keep a full-blown AIDS at bay. And good for that. Doesn't work for everybody. It's got a high success rate in the 90s, but, you know, it's not 100. So are you willing to take that risk? Is it 10% risk? I tell you right now that as far as, say, firearms goes, a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of firearms are used in the commission of crimes. A tinier fraction of firearms are used in mass shootings. And yet Democrats don't go, well, we just got to let that slide then. I guess we got to take the good with the bad. No. They say we must. They must. We have to ban all firearms because a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage are misused. Rather than targeting criminals, they target the people who would obey the law. You sit there and you go, that doesn't make any sense. And like, well, it does make sense if you recognize that they view these instances not as outrages that must be addressed, but as opportunities to advance their agenda. You notice how they reach into their desk drawer anytime there's anything that they think they can take advantage of and go, I have this piece of I know how to stop this. We got a piece of legislation. I don't know what happened, but I know how to respond to it. And you go, that doesn't make any sense. And then the second it turns out that the shooter is a trans activist off their meds, they put the bill back in their drawer and they go, all right, we'll have to wait till the next one. We can't use this one. We have to pretend this one didn't happen. That's how Democrats operate. I'm not cynical. You're cynical. I'm realistic. But you say, well, Scott Wiener, he did this stupid thing over. Okay, yeah, Scott Wiener did this stupid thing down in California. Now Maryland is on the cusp of passing essentially the same bill, decriminalizing knowingly giving somebody HIV. You go, why the hell would you do that? Well, California did it. It's as simple as that. The hive mind doesn't need to really think rationally. They just declare, somebody does something, like, well, that's a good idea. How can we out-progress? I think most of the left-wing agenda is sitting there going, what can we do? How far can we push normal people before they recoil in horror? What can we do to just annoy normal people? It's all the people who were picked last at sports, got turned down at dances and everything. They're just going, you know what? I'm going to spend my adult life seeking revenge on everybody. But Maryland is on the cusp of doing the same damn thing. Because why? Because why not? It's really as simple as because why not? A guy, a state delegate named Chris Fair, he's got a bill. He says, well, you know, that somebody could be charged with trying to spread AIDS and assault, face 3 years in prison if they bite somebody or spit at them. You can't get AIDS by biting somebody or spitting at it. It's not The Walking Dead. Okay, fine. Remove biting and spitting, but I don't think that you go and sex, because while you can't necessarily get the evidence shows you don't get HIV by through bites or spit, pretty unambiguously you do get it through sex. So if you're going to have sex with somebody, you should be forced to tell them or face consequences for not telling them, right? Wouldn't you want to know that? There'd be a lot of sex not happening for people who are HIV positive, but then they'd probably find somebody who goes, you know what? I'm cool with it. I'm willing to risk it, or we'll take precautions or whatever, and boom, there you go. Maybe you found your life mate. But why would you decriminalize it? Well, it's because it's manageable. Oh, great. Congratulations. While nobody wants to wake up in the morning and go, hey, great sex last night. There's a note on the pillow. Great sex last night. By the way, I've got herpes. And, you know, you'll remember this night forever. Gave you a fake name. You'll never see me again because I'm in town on work. Bye. You don't want to also go, oh, by the way, I have HIV. But don't worry. If and you did get it, you can take a pill for the rest of your life. You can take a whole bunch of pills for the rest of your life and be 90% certain that you won't die a horrible death. Oh, all right. Well, there you go. People would not make that choice willingly. And it's weird that the pro-choice party would strip people of that choice, don't you think? It just seems odd. We are pro-choice. Great. I want to send my kid to this school. Not that kind of pro-choice, hippie. Get away from me, you lunatic, you Nazi. I'm talking about for abortion. Oh, so you're sex-related pro-choice. Then I would like to know whether or not somebody is HIV positive. No, not that kind of choice either. Just one very specific thing we're pro-choice. Until we can find a way to mandate it. And then we're against it again, against choice there too. But everywhere else, we're against choice. Seems almost a little bit disingenuous, if you ask me. But these are the priorities of Democrats. And oh, by the way, if it's, okay, there's a law. People could be going to prison for biting somebody. First of all, what the hell's biting anybody? What the hell's wrong with somebody? What are you biting people for, dude? Dr. Lecter, how about you just, you know, don't bite people. But if that's the case, then you just say, all right, all these other conditions that you can be charged with for trying to give somebody AIDS or whatever, we'll remove except for sex because that's the one that works. They don't want to do that. They won't do that. He's trying to repeal a law that he himself admits that nobody really prosecuted under. Nobody's really prosecuted for spitting. Nobody's really prosecuted for biting. Some people have faced some charges for the sex thing. Okay, then get rid of all the other things and keep the part that worked. No, they don't want to do that because that's not really what it's about. We could use, frankly, they say, well, it's stigmatizing. We wouldn't want to stigmatize. I want to stigmatize people. I want to stigmatize more people. I want to stigmatize them a lot. We should stigmatize a lot. We need more judging in society. We need less government involvement and more judging in society. It's good that there is regulations in a lot of towns against people putting an El Camino up on blocks in their front lawn, right? That's good. It's a good thing. Anybody who lives in a neighborhood who doesn't want to see a whole series of cars up on blocks on the front lawn as the weeds grow through the hood, they're down with it. They get it. Yeah, I don't want that. There are laws against it, but we shouldn't need them. With a good bit of judging, we wouldn't, I mean, they're good to have because some people will be immune to it. But most people, you got an El Camino on bricks because, I don't know, somebody stole your tires or whatever. All right. If it sits there too long, then suddenly you're not invited to the neighborhood barbecue. You're not invited to the block party. People stop talking to you a little bit. You begin to get that maybe people aren't super pleased with you. And that societal pressure through the civil society then causes people to change their behavior to the good. You're free to continue to be a jerk, although, like I said, the police can still be called on you, but you don't. You stop. The social policing took care of it. That's the way it should be. But when it comes to something like AIDS, you can't really do that. You can't really know. You won't know. And if somebody's not willing to tell you, you can't tell anybody until afterwards. Or you don't find out until it's, frankly, it's too late. If you're not informed consent, Democrats don't really like that all that much. So you do need some kind of punishment. And you can get there. That punishment sitting there will serve as the judgment that, quite frankly, the situation needs. Now, it's weird, this guy, this fair guy, where is this thing? He refers to it as a sword of Damocles, and it's really kind of, he says, quote, people living with HIV have this kind of sword of Damocles hanging over their head. In every single social situation, they have no control over being able to make the right decision. What the hell does that mean? They actually do have control over being able to make the right decision. They make the right decision. You make the right decision by informing the person that you're about to have sex with or may have sex with that, hey, by the way, just so you know, this. I realize it might put a cramp on the rest of our evening's plans, but I'd feel horrible. Plus, it'd be illegal if I didn't tell you this. That's how it should be. Oh, it's too stinky. You want to remove the sword of Damocles. You're putting a sword of Damocles over the other person. You're putting a guillotine on a timer and a random timer over the other person. They may or may not get HIV. But don't worry, you can take pills for the rest of it. Hey, one night in the sheets, and then you get a lifetime of taking medication and hoping that it works and hoping that it continues to work throughout the rest of your life. How wonderful, how very progressive. So, yeah, as you watch these people moralize, you got to kind of be moral to moralize. And I think that what they're advocating, not from a moral standpoint as far as the sex goes, but as far as the informed consent, what two adults do, is none of my business, none of my concern. I've got better things to think about. But those adults should be informed. They should be. Shouldn't they? I think so. So, yeah, I haven't forgotten that I'm looking at this headline still, but I want to take a break here because I just read this headline and go to a break. Otherwise, I didn't mean to go off on that tangent, but I did, and that's what you do. I'm Derek Hunter, sitting in for Tony Katz. You're listening to Tony Katz Today. Be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Tony Katz Today. Today it's Derek Hunter sitting in for Tony Katz. But Tony Katz will be back. Just don't turn off your radio or change the dial until Monday. Don't ever do it. Just don't change the dial, and then you'll be fine. Tony will be back on Monday, but you'll hear me today and tomorrow. I'm host of the Derek Hunter podcast, which you can find by Googling it. And I do a show that has a lot of doo-doo in it. Something called The Week in Effin' Review at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast or DerekHunter.locals.com, where I talk about the news the way, frankly, it deserves to be talked about. It's a half-hour minimum-long rant. Angry, funny, maybe a little coarse talk about the news. Let's face it, these people deserve it. It's the least I could do. All right, my favorite headline. It might be so far of the year. And it's not just a lingerie banner ad that keeps refreshing itself at the top of this picture, although that's not bad either. It comes to us from the UK Independent headline, How Climate Change is Hitting Vulnerable Indonesian Trans Sex Workers. There's a lot going on in that headline right there. How Climate Change is Hitting Vulnerable Indonesian Trans Sex Workers. Wow. Imagine that pitch. Hey, I want to write a piece about how climate change is impacting sex workers. Ah, too broad. How about we just do it in Indonesia? Can't do it in Indonesia. Why not? Well, because it's still a little too broad. All right, then trans sex workers. Okay, yeah, there you go. Go and do that research. All right. Joya Pathia, a 43-year-old Indonesian transgender woman, first started to notice that changing weather patterns in the mountain-ringed city of Bondang were affecting her income as a sex worker a decade ago, is the lead paragraph. You just sit there and you go, what the hell? Who's sitting there? Who does this? This is the left. In case you were losing sleep over trans sex workers in Indonesia, they've got the beat covered. This is the modern left. Hey, here's an idea. Don't be a sex worker. How about that? Maybe you should let things impact you to not be a sex worker. Wouldn't that be the way to go? Anyway, we've got to take a break here. We'll be back. Stick around. person with a long-term lease on a lonely heart. Not necessarily the owner, but they are, you know, in the eyes of the squatter on a lonely heart. There'd be a song about that. Welcome back to Tony Katz Show. I'm Derek Hunter, sitting here for you till 3 o'clock. And tomorrow till 3 o'clock. I love this story, in case you're just tuning in. The headline from the UK Independent: how climate change is hitting vulnerable Indonesian trans sex workers. The subheadline, by the way, says nearly 93% of respondents saw decreased income during the rainy season. Okay, yeah, monsoon season. If you're worried about your house being swept away in a mudslide, probably get it on with a transsexual prostitute, not top of the list. Survival always wins in that case. So the rainy season was lasting longer across the West Java province. Winds were stronger, and in some particularly bad years, Patihita, however you pronounce that, lost up to 80% of her earnings. Trans women like Patia are among the most affected by extreme weather linked to climate change, as well as suffering disproportionately when disasters strike. What? Disaster goes, we're going to strike with this town, but don't worry, we're going to keep it mostly in the trans area. I love how they like, the climate is doing this and that, but it's particularly hitting neighborhoods of color. Why? Air pollution, sitting down there. Why? Is it hate black people? CO2 emissions? Go, you know what? Let's go. Let's go over there. I hear that there's a black neighborhood over there. Let's go sit over there. Of course, again, if you're a Democrat, you don't have to back any of this stuff up. You just simply declare it to be, and everybody goes, oh, it has to be. It just does. Why does it have to be? Well, white supremacy, obviously. Oh, all right, yeah. The whole gang over at Morning Joe starts knocking their heads up and down like a row of bobbleheads sitting on the dashboard of the family truckster going down a dirt road. It's, oh, yeah, nodding in uniform. Totally, absolutely. Positively, 100%, no questions asked. I have some questions. That doesn't make any sense. How do you do that? Environmental racism. Okay. Yeah, they put the dumping of mercury plant in the poor neighborhoods. Is it a dumping of mercury plant? I mean, you get the idea. I really don't. I mean, I've worked in some pretty depressed neighborhoods when I was a roofer in Detroit, and there's not a lot of dumping of mercury plants in the water supply or whatever. Just seems a bit odd to. They're targeting, now they're over in Indonesia, they're targeting, the weather is targeting trans prostitutes? And they're more than likely, disasters? Why? Are trans prostitutes, the regular prostitutes, demand all the flat surfaces? All the high ground flat surfaces are covered with the straight prostitutes, the biological women prostitutes, and they relegate the trans women prostitutes to the hillside, right below the giant pile of large, loose boulders with no roots or trees or anything that could serve as the ground securing naturally. Like, okay, yeah, maybe, but no, of course not. Quote, no one is coming out during the longer rainy season, says Patia. It is very hard to make money during that unpredictable weather. Well, there you go. If you were planning your vacation during the rainy season to Indonesia to go and freak, never mind. Just know that plan accordingly. Use the weather app. Indonesia is particularly vulnerable. Say, like, this is Indonesia is particularly vulnerable. And then inside Indonesia, the sex workers are particularly vulnerable. And then inside the sex workers, the trans sex workers are super duper particularly vulnerable. Wow, it seems like there's a whole series of poor career choices made there, I would say, right? Real estate is about location, 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 apparently, so is trans sex work. Indonesia It's particularly vulnerable to the effects of climate change and trans women, who tend to face more stigma and marginalization than trans men or other LGBTQ plus Indonesians, are also among those hardest hit by extreme weather. What? They're hit by the stigma and weather? Look out, there's a weather front coming in from the west. Seems to be particularly homophobic. A lot of lightning particularly directed at trans people. So take cover. This is, again, how the left operates, though. You just sit there and you go, a normal person would look at you. Transport anybody from 50 years ago, they would wet themselves reading this story. They go, this is some of the best parody I've ever seen. This is from National Lampoon, right? It's from Mad Magazine. This has to be something. This can't be real, right? And then when you convince them, it would take a while, that this is real, they would not be able to stop vomiting. That's because, it continues, many trans women like Petia are shut out of the formal economy and survive as bucksters and sex workers, occupations that rely on them being able to solicit clients outdoors. I love it. It's just like, yeah, it's just a job. Occupation. Some of them are roofers. Some of them are sex workers. The vocational training classes in high school have a really wide berth over there in Indonesia, I'd say. Cheryl, unpronounceable last name that ends in O, a 28-year-old trans woman from the capital, Jakarta, worked as a busker, I don't know what the hell a busker is, for around 7 years until the increasingly volatile weather made her seek other options. Wait a second, we were just told that buskers and sex workers were all that they got. Weren't we? That's the sentence right before it. But then you get, I have to look up what busker is, because a person who performs music or other entertainment in the streets or other public places for monetary donations. Okay, busker. Besker, I guess it's pronounced. Wait, so you could make money as a musician, and it's just tough because it rains. So you decide to go into prostitution? Quote, I no longer want to endure the heat and rain on the streets, said unpronounceable last name that starts with W and ends with O, who joined the trans-led arts group Sanggar Seraja, where she now sings with the theater company and runs the social media channel. Well, it sounds like there are jobs out there, right? The only options are prostitute and street musician, unless you join this group. Now, if there's an artist group, trans, that strikes me as maybe it's not as anti-trans as we were led to believe, right? Just saying. I apologize unreservedly to our liberal friends that I brought logic to this thing, but I just have a natural desire to question most things, and when they don't make any sense, I ask more questions. Let's see. As well as seeking to adapt their precarious livelihoods to the new climate reality, these women and the groups that support them. Now, there are groups that support them. That's, again, weird that for such a transphobic country, there'd be groups that support them. But okay. Support them are also seeking to raise awareness of the challenges posed by extreme weather in a nation composed of more than 17,000 islands. Move everybody to an island. Despite gender fluid communities, how many landslides does the gender fluid? Wait, never mind. That's not what they're talking about. Despite gender fluid communities being historically accepted in Indonesia, now wait a second. How is that? We were just reliably informed by the UK that there's a massive stigma attached to this, thereby forcing trans women into either musicianhood or prostitution. But they're generally historically accepted in Indonesia. Now comes the slam against the Reds. They always find a way to make it a bastardization of the words and make it an attack on conservatives. These women, a rising tide of conservative Islam in the world's largest Muslim majority country has fueled anti-LGBTQ plus persecution. Conservatives, it's conservative, not radical. You can't, radical would be too, radical doesn't bring in conservatives. It doesn't attack conservatives. Just saying conservative, there you go, you attack them that way. Has nothing to do with, most conservatives look at it and go, you know what, I don't want you being my kids' elementary school teacher, but I don't want to see it, but I don't care what you do, it's up to you. Well, that's not good enough for the left. They need to find a way to, this has to be the planet's fault, the weather's fault, and conservatism, even though it's in Indonesia. Yeah. Radical Islam, not super friendly towards the gay community, towards the alphabet mafia. Who knew? Aside from, you know, everybody. Except for it always comes as a surprise. It seems to come as a surprise to progressives. Or they tried desperately to hide it. LGBTQ plus. By the way, I know quite a few of the L's and the G's. I don't actually know anybody who is a vocal supporter who is an L or a G, who is a vocal supporter of the T, who's a big fan of the T, who really is really happy. Very happy that the T was slapped onto this, because it's all about the T now. And they're like, yeah, you know, T is a little bit different. T is weird. T is, people don't understand T. Why? Because it's, again, thinking logically, so I apologize. The T makes zero sense if you think about it logically. If somebody said to you, can you describe, I've never smelled chocolate, I've heard about chocolate once. What is this chocolate thing? I've never seen it, never tasted it, never smelled it. Can you describe to me what chocolate tastes like? Would you be able to do it? No, you wouldn't, because you talk to people who've had chocolate, and you just know chocolate. This is really chocolatey. Chocolatey. I don't understand what chocolatey means. What does it taste like? Chocolate. I don't understand what chocolate is. What is? You can't explain it because it's something that we all sort of know. Whether you like it or not, you know it. You know the smell. You know the texture. You know the color. You know the whatever. But you know it. It's unthinking. Now, is it perceived the same way by everybody? Absolutely not. Everybody perceives it differently. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people are indifferent towards it. I'm personally indifferent towards it. It's fine. It's good. It's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good chocolate. But I don't need any more of it. I don't really crave chocolate. More of a meat guy. But if you were then to say, okay, then you can't describe chocolate to me. How about you as a man explain to me what it's like to be a man? What it feels like to be a man. Not what you think society expects you to, but what it feels like to be a man. You have no idea. I couldn't tell you what it feels like to be you. You couldn't tell me what it feels like to be me. If we hit our funny bone, I don't know that you hitting your funny bone feels the same way as me hitting my funny bone. I really don't know that. I assume that we're somewhere similar, Charlie horses, whatever, but there are some people who don't feel it that way, don't feel it at all, don't have that problem. You have no idea what it's like to actually feel or what another person feels like. So then it makes it an impossibility to know what it feels like to be another gender. They just are. A fish would not be very good at describing to you what wet is. They're just wet. They're like, what do you mean? What is wet? There's water all around us. Well, it's a little bit more to it than that, isn't there? I don't know. I can't explain. It's just kind of how the world is. You'll only ever know what it's like to be you. That's what makes this whole transgender thing so bizarre. Dylan Mulvaney can go, I'm going to tuck it back really far and put on a pink dress, and I'm a girl. I feel like a girl. I'm like, that I've never known a woman to act as stupid and flinty as Dylan Mulvaney does. No self-respecting woman would ever do any of the things. Even teenage girls would not act that way. But we're all supposed to go, oh, yeah, he's got a pink dress on. Therefore, he's a she. Biology be damned. Boy, that dude at the urinal next to me, when he hiked up his skirt, I got to see what kind of a woman he was. That's not how it works. And so you end up in a situation with, like, this Nex Benedict killed herself. The story was, oh my God, she was bullied to death. She was beaten to death. She died as a result of a homophobic attack because she was non-binary. What the hell's not? How does anybody get mad at somebody who's non-binary? Nobody knows what the hell non-binary is because it doesn't mean anything. I'll show you. Then it turns out, not so much. Died the next day. Was checked up by the doctors, was fine. May well have been the aggressor in the fight, as a matter of fact. Then it turns out that as the story faded because it became less useful to the left, that Nex may have been molested by a family member. That's the latest. It's horrible, terrible stuff. But nobody wants to investigate. It's not going to be reported on because nobody cares anymore. It's no longer useful to the left. Once it stops being useful to the left, it's like Surf Pro came through. It's like it never even happened. I've got a lot more to say about this and a whole bunch of other things right now, though. The clock tells me I've got to step away. You're listening to Tony Katz Today. I'm Derek Hunter. We'll be right back. Boy, howdy. Time is... It's already 2 hours into the show. Can't believe time is flying the way it is, but hey, what are you going to do? I probably still have more to say on this radical insanity, as well as all the other things that are going on in the world. We've got a bunch of stuff to get to, some audio we haven't even played yet, out of Poland, out of the EU, that's actually damn good. Squatters, and some more audio related to this transgender stuff. You're not going to want to miss the program. Don't go anywhere. I'm not long yet. I still got time, don't I? All right. Well, we'll let the music play us out. You listen to Tony Katz Today.